You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Hey, you guys!
I'm making my lunch! So can I get you gentlemen something more to drink? Or maybe something to nibble on? Some pizza shooters, shrimp poppers, or extreme fajitas?
It's the Lunchtime Show with Bill and Jason, live from the Mulberry Food Court.
I said lunch, not lunch!
Took a short sabbatical, October 2007, and we're back. The Lunchtime Show. Hey, I'm so excited. This is Nowhere Mulberry's Lunchtime Show, the lost episode, the episode you always wanted to hear and never got to, and we're back this week for a special holiday Mulberry package to you. This special show, and with me, I have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm terrific.
We're back in the Mulberry Town Mall.
I love this place.
It's great. You know,
good to see that Giggles Arcade is still open.
Yeah, Giggles. Gotta love that place. Hey, Bill, I got you an Orange Julius.
Oh, boy.
I love these things.
Oh, these are so good.
You know, I think
now that's refreshing.
I haven't been in the mall since October of 2007, Bill. I just couldn't come back. It had too many memories for me.
It was hard to step back inside.
Yeah, you know, people have asked us questions like, hey, why'd you stop the Lunchtime Show? Hey, when did you first come up with Nora Mulberry? Where did you get the name Nora Mulberry? Who's Eugene? Where'd Vanessa go? Why does Steven breathe like that? There's so
Vanessa
many...
Vanessa got sucked into the vortex from the guy on Heroes.
The closet in Poltergeist got Vanessa.
Oh, okay.
If you've seen that movie recently, you know that that's scary.
Yeah, that's very scary.
But
almost as scary as a clown under your bed.
But this show is all about Nowhere in Mulberry. This is our Mulberry Lost episode, which means it's the episode where we talk about the origins of Nowhere in Mulberry and even the Lunchtime Show. And we could start with the Lunchtime Show, but that would be out of order because basically I would say I got burnt out on the Lunchtime Show. We were doing it 3 days a week. So to make a long story
short... You know what
short,
was the end of the Lunchtime Show? And the episode exists.
Yeah, I do.
The episode where you get the Xbox for your birthday.
Yep.
That was the beginning of the end.
You know, the same thing that destroyed the Hollywood Saloon destroyed the Lunchtime Show.
I know, man. That Xbox 360 is a fickle bitch.
Yeah, it's like a cult, you know. It's like, where'd Andy go? He's in the cult of Xbox. That's where he went. Oh, I remember
it's the cult of the bomb. We're underneath Mulberry and we're worshipping a nuclear bomb.
That guy used to be so productive. What happened to him? Oh, he got an Xbox. Oh, yeah. We don't really talk about it much. But
what happened to him? Oh, he's got a 10,000-point gamer score now.
Yeah, you could talk to him if you get an Xbox. Oh, really? I have to do that? Yeah, you'd have to join the cult. Sorry.
We're only $199 now. That's cheaper than Scientology.
You know, one thing I love about this mall is it's always hustling and bustling. Everyone's here. Everyone's running around the food court. It's great.
Yeah. there's really nothing much to do. And this is really kind of the only safe place once we got rid of the zombies.
Right. You know, one of my favorite places to go is Spencer's over there. I like to look through the poster rack.
Yeah, I'd always sneak back into the adult section.
Oh, yeah. I love those hauling ass posters with the girls and their thongs and they're on the back of a truck or something.
I always like the fake pills, like you take them for farts and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, and do you remember the Fundies underwear where two people fit in? Fundies. Who invented those, man?
I don't know, man.
Wow.
Somebody who had way too much time on their hands. The
oh, we also have Foggy here running the board. Hey, Foggy, how's it going? We've been on a little Thanksgiving vacation from the show, so it's nice to see you guys again and everything. But if we want to start with Nowhere and Mulberry, like how did it all begin? We weren't always even live. We started as a podcast. I don't know if you've heard of those Bill, but they're, it's like a radio show, only there's no ums and ahs because they're edited out. So it's not really natural. It's very
It's fake live, faux live.
Yeah, it's very unnatural. It's just, it's horrible, bad
it's like
radio.
Stereo.
Yeah, it's like stereo, only unnatural. God, that's one of our long-running Mulberry jokes, too, that I don't even know if anyone gets but us, but the stereo is unnatural.
But it's still funny as hell.
It's our Herbie Hancock joke. Go back in the archives, and one day you may discover what we're talking
Bo's
about.
Bo's
nose. But anyway, let's start back. Yes, I remember, in a way, I would say that podcasting, when I first heard the word, it's when the Leo Laporte started the This Week in Tech. It's because I always watched the screensavers on Tech TV. You remember
religiously.
That?
Religiously.
And then
I'll never forget the first time I saw that. It's I was back home in Pennsylvania, and they had ZDTV on my mom's cable system, and that was the coolest thing in the world to me because it was all about computers and geek stuff.
Right.
That's when they had the chick on it, Kate something.
Patello.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. That. You know, Tech TV was a channel where it was safe to, if there was nothing on, I'd just put it on that channel. It would be on in the background.
Unless Silicon Spin was on. On C-Divor, I'd always change it. I hated that show.
That guy is so cranky. But, you know, the screensavers was a lot of fun, and I always watched that. But what happened is G4 bought Tech TV. And it became G4 Tech TV for a while, and a lot of people started quitting or getting fired, and the screensavers was no more. G4 in their boardroom of suits ruined whatever I liked about the show, and it became this retarded show that was unwatchable. So anyway, after a while, I wondered, hey, maybe Leo Laporte and all those guys will start a new show somewhere else. But his idea was different. He didn't want to do any more TV. He wanted to start it at home. He wanted to kind of do this new podcast thing, which I don't know who started the podcasting. Wasn't it Adam Curry? He's the podfather or whatever.
He claims to be the podfather.
Yeah, I basically heard that, hey, if you have an iPod, what a podcast is a radio show you can download anytime you want. It's kind of like a TiVo. And I was like, what? What exactly? I kept reading little things. I just never understood what the hell they were talking about, you know? I was like, huh? So finally I like went to Leo's site and I listened to the show and I go, oh, it's like a radio show, but it's an MP3 file. Okay, if somebody just would have told me that, it's an MP3 file.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to website.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when it first started, you're like, do we need like a special program to get these?
Yeah, I didn't understand the feed aspect, that you put it on a feed that people could subscribe to. That came later. So I was like, hey, we could do a podcast, Bill. And my main basis for a show I wanted to do, because I kept thinking, you know, the first thing you think is, hey, I want to do a show. Then you're like, wait, what am I going to talk about? And then you're like, Well,
I'm so interesting.
The only thing we ever talk about is movies and TV and video game type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well,
not all the time, but mostly.
I languished for years at the same crappy retail job where I framed pictures. And I always had a radio going. It was my radio from home that people are like, oh, Jason's listening to The Ticket. I listen to the sports radio station, like, all the time. And the most fun I had listening to this radio station is when they would take like 1 hour out of a week and talk about TV shows. And I knew that that's what I really wanted to do, like a show like that, because there are a lot of shows in existence, like regular radio or even other podcasts, but they never, no one ever did what I wanted to hear on the radio, basically. Mm-hmm. So I knew what I wanted to talk about, and I knew how I wanted to talk about it. And I was always a lover of sound drops. For instance, like, you know, the old Howard Stern show, Fred Norris.
Fred. Oh, yeah.
He would play drops. And this local sports station, they would have drops, too. And sometimes, you know, I would listen, and I would almost hear a cue, like, why aren't they playing this drop? That would have been perfect for them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm almost playing my own drops in my head where it would have been funny. So I was like, hey, if I ever do a radio show, I got to have my own drops. In fact, you know, I have to create my own drops. That's one thing that The Ticket taught me, that radio station, is say, like, during the week they would play some kind of news conference by somebody or something funny would happen on accident. They'd make a drop of it to play later. So it's almost like you're in on the joke when you hear that, like, a week later. You know where it came from. And I knew it had to be something like that. I didn't do that right away. You know, when I told Foggy, here is all these sets of drops. Like, we went back and we went online and we found movies and stuff. We created a bunch of drops before the show even started and that really had no context in the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, always on a drop hunt.
Yeah, there.
I'd send you stuff. You'd send me stuff.
The only context there was that we were familiar with the line from a movie, you know. But what's cool about Norm Mulberry, the show, is over time we've created like a history of drops from our shows. You know what I mean? Like, be it Eugene drops or Jonathan Silky Dirt drops, they all originated in a certain show. And if someone who's been listening to us from then, they know where that comes from. And that's what's cool about that. You know, create an origin for it. Not just, yeah, you know, lame clapping sound effects or, you know, how, like, you'll listen to somebody doing a podcast or whatever or a pretend radio show. They'll have their ready sound effects, right? Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone does it in radio. You know, they have the fake applause or whatever. I understand that.
Typical BBC sound library sound effects.
Right. And we have our fake laughter or whatever. Yeah, something like that.
That's actually people here at the mall.
Yeah, they're laughing at us. Hey! Oh, yeah. Thank you, everyone. We're really funny. But, you know, you could probably go back. One of our listeners, if I played this, they would know that was from a hand-farting guy on a certain episode of our show, you know?
What the hell did he call himself?
A manualist.
Manualist? Like a pencilist?
I love that. That's so genius, you know?
It really is. I love, like, how he gets sound from pulling his hands apart, pushing them. That's just, you know, that's genius. He is truly a hand fart artiste.
He is. The mentalist on CBS. I want the manualist.
Hand fartiste.
Pleasuring himself.
Yeah, Carl Monday. That's a famous show in the Mulberry archive. Go back and listen to that. So anyway, I was telling Bill one day. Bill and I, by the way, you and I met playing a Star Wars Galaxies, a multi-online RPG game based on Star Wars.
MMORPG.
Yeah, you know, I was playing with nerds from the home theater forum, and you were one of those nerds on there, right?
Yeah.
We were all nerds, let's face it. And so we're playing this game, and, you know, just naturally you find somebody to play the game with, right?
Yeah, our schedules were, you know.
Basically, I could only play this game late at night because, first of all, my wife did not need to know I was playing it as much as I was.
Yeah.
So it's, oh, she's asleep. I'm going to go log on. You know, the Star Wars Galaxies game was so just addictive and just bad. The only good thing that came out of it was my friendship with you, Bill, because otherwise I was wasting a lot of time in my life.
Yeah. It got to the point where I could be on it like time.
Just how many hours do you think you? Do you even want to think about that? How many hours you played playing it?
Honestly, for like a year there, it was every waking moment.
Oh man, I would like be jonesing for it. Like, I want to play. We're going to go crate hunting, or there'd be something like a certain blaster I wanted. I was obsessed with collecting pistols in there to use, you know?
Became a pistolier. There was that one pistol. Remember we spent that one day looking for crate pearls and what else was there that they dropped?
There was like crate tissue or some kind
of...
Like,
yeah, exactly. There was tissue and there were pearls.
Some kind of Death Watch bunker thing.
Yeah,
or
we went out to Tatooine and went to the Crate Dragon Valley, and we spent an entire day looking for the best tissues that we could find, and took it to one of our friends who was a
God, crafter. So dorky.
I know, man, but it was fun.
What was cool, we gave it to like this gunsmith guy in the game, who we don't even know in real life, but some...
It was like waiting for a child to be born.
Yeah, he's like, basically the way the game is, you put all the components in, and you're basically rolling dice in the game to see what the stats are, right?
Yeah.
And if the stats turn out good, you got a badass gun. So he was like, hey, we got plus so-and-so damage. And it's like, yeah! What's the speed
on it? We're sitting outside his house while he's in there, and we're cheering every time we get a good stat.
And it was like, awesome! So anyway, that thing was all dying out, you know?
When it started to die, it went quick.
You knew the game was bad when Bill and I were driving around in... like land speeders and trying to get into parts of the game you couldn't drive land speeders. Remember, we were just trying to drive it into the starport. Maybe it'll work this time. And
we would see how fast we could get it before it kicked us out of the speeder.
It was like, we're so bored playing this game, but I don't think we'd realized it yet that the time was up on Star Wars Galaxies. But anyway, I was like, hey, why don't we do this podcast thing? And I still remember the first thing you said is, well, I was like, I think you were saying, well, how long would we do it? And I was like, maybe an hour. And I think you were like, how are we going to talk about something for an hour? What are we going to talk about for an hour? I was like, I don't know, but I think we can come up with something. But little did we know we'd be doing like nearly 3-hour shows every week.
Yeah.
We never shut up, do we?
No, we don't.
But, you know, the first problem with wanting to record a show is not knowing anything about it. Really, I had no freaking clue how to record a show or even what we were going to do until, you know, Skype came along. I don't even know how I heard about Skype. And maybe Leo Laporte was talking about it or something. There's this program called Skype where you can talk on the phone on your computer. It's weird. Really? So, okay, let's try that. And Vanessa was on Skype. You were on Skype. And, you know, you hit record. Okay, you guys talk. And then when you listen to it afterwards, hey, it didn't record you guys. What's going on? It didn't understand anything.
I remember that. That was crazy.
It was so trial and error.
We'd talk for an hour, and then it would just be you.
And I'd go, hey, guys, what's going on? I'd be, like, shit.
Digital crickets.
And I'd be like, what the hell happened? Why isn't this working? And honestly, I don't even know why I didn't keep these, Bill. Oh, well, I know I didn't keep them because it didn't record anybody but me. Yeah. But I had... we tried at least 3 times, and it didn't record you or Vanessa. And then the fateful day where I discovered Hit Stereo Mix. And that still was a pain in the ass. You'd have to wait for it to balance out. Do you remember just... Here it is. Okay, you have the record control bar, and it has stereo mix. I would click stereo mix and then call you and Vanessa, and you guys would hear yourself echoing back, feedback. And we'd be like, don't worry, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. So before every show, we'd have to wait for the echo to go away, and then when it did, then we could start the show.
Oh.
And sometimes during
I remember
the show,
you would call, and I would... You'd be like, okay, Bill, you first. And I'd be like, me, mo, 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 mo. You know, echo. We'd wait for it to die.
Yeah.
And then you would go, okay, let me start over. I'll lower the volume all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah,
and I'll raise it up real slowly. And each time you'd raise it up, you go, okay, go. Okay, go.
You hear? Still getting an echo. Getting an echo. Okay, well, let's start all over again. And we'd just be doing that for like 15, 20 minutes sometimes. And I don't know what happened, but one day Skype, they did an update or something, and you never had to do that anymore. It just was like, hey, Bill, how's it going? Hey. And there was no echo anymore. And anyway, thank God.
It was liberating. I'll never forget that. They were like, oh, awesome.
Hey, it just worked the first time. But I would say episode 1 through 60 of Mulberry was like that. I'm just like, ah, shit, we got an echo. And then there was some weird goof. If you sent me a text over Skype, it would reset the settings.
Oh, yeah.
And go back to microphone.
I learned after like 3 times that I did that. It was like, oh.
I remember
crap.
The first time we had Andy on, we were recording and he sent me a message and I was like, no! He's like, what'd I do? What'd I do? And I was like, just don't worry about it. We just got to start over. But those were good times. And the funniest thing about, we did 2 shows. We had actually 2 shows in the can. You weren't on the first show, as I remember. You slept in?
Yeah, I think I was. I forgot about it, or I slept in and I woke up and I was like, oh, damn, I missed it.
And then the second show, you were on the show. So if anyone goes back to Mulberry Old School and listens to episode 2, that's Bill's first ever show.
Yeah.
I had 2 shows on the in the can, and we were supposed to on the can.
Shows on the can.
Yeah, it was essentially, if you listen to the show,
that's why it sounds so great. The echo, the acoustics of the bathroom.
They recorded in 64 kilobits, very muddy sounding, and you'll enjoy those, hopefully. The sound is so just bad on those, the compression and everything. But I remember we were going to a family vacation to Port Aransas. And I didn't know anything about you needed a host for people to download the show, right? It's like, oh, how do I post this online for people to hear it? So I looked and I found Audioblog, this site where you paid $5 a month. I didn't realize that you actually had to pay for the bandwidth. The more people downloaded, the more it cost. But I didn't understand that at the time. I didn't have to worry about that in the beginning, though.
Yeah, in the beginning it was fine. But then whenever we started to get more downloads, we got some more publicity through Andy in the Hollywood Saloon, and then it started getting to be a little too much, and we're like, oh crap.
Oh yeah, I remember I looked one day and my bill was over $50. I was like, what the hell? And it was because we did so much in bandwidth that week. I was like, what the crap? But it's cost $5. But I remember telling Andy this, that you submit your podcast feed to iTunes, right? Audioblog and Libsyn and SwitchPod, stuff like that. It creates an automatic podcast feed when you create your podcast and upload it. So I didn't have to worry about that anymore. But I submitted to iTunes, and I was checking like every hour. Are we on iTunes yet? Are we on iTunes yet? I didn't realize it took like 2 weeks or something, you know?
Yeah.
And you expect the mail to flood in or something. And I think we did 5 episodes, and I didn't hear jack shit back.
Yeah, we got nothing back.
And I remember it was like episode 7 that I got my first Andy from the Hollywood Saloon email. And he was talking to us about, he couldn't believe the way we were dissing Tony Scott. That was the first email we ever got from Andy. It was about, well, you guys should be a little hard on Tony Scott. It was genius.
Well, you know what? People need to be hard on Tony Scott. I still firmly believe that.
But you remember back in that time, podcasting, like Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley. It was
Podcast Pickle.
There was a new podcast like every minute. There were millions of podcasts. There were podcast clicks of people like, oh, we're in the Podcast Outlaws. And I would read on there all the time, like, their little tips and tricks, which is all worthless pretty much. I'm going to tell you this right now. Everything we've learned on doing No More on Mulberry, we learned ourselves through trial and error.
Yeah.
A lot of those podcasting rules and tips people give you are really worthless, honestly. And you know what's even sadder is when you see for sale podcast kit. You get a microphone. You get this headset, and you know, it's just like, give me a break.
A mixer.
Yeah, a mixer. You get all this podcasting kit or whatever. So anyway, I remember I submitted our show to this thing called the Podcast Outlaws, where they listen to your show, and then if they like it, they endorse it. Hey, that could be great, right, Bill? People would, they would endorse Nowhere in Mulberry. Well, I still remember this dickhead, this guy named Craig Patchett. He does this thing called Godcast. I shit you not. He does a religious podcast. He probably does something else. But he was one of the podcast outlaws, this Godcast. He accidentally replied to me, not the other podcast outlaws, where he said, "Nowhere in Mulberry, yawn." He basically wrote, "Yawn, I've heard better. I like the idea of a small town radio station, but this is a real snoozer." And that was like, he accidentally said, and then he wrote a reply, "Oh, sorry, that didn't mean, I didn't mean to send that to you."
And I was yeah. Like,
but this is after like 8 episodes or something. It was just kind of like, holy shit, man, that was hardcore. Because in the early days, you remember my idea was the illusion of we're in a small town in the middle of nowhere. A small Mulberry town where there's basically all we have is TV and movies to entertain us. And that's what we talk about here at our small time radio station. If you hear episode 1... I pretend we're in a radio station. I dropped it after the first episode because it was just kind of silly. Let's just do a podcast or whatever. But anyway, I thought that was really harsh what the dude wrote, you know, and it's kind of you when you get somebody says something like that, you either think, well, I could quit or I could just keep doing what I'm doing and screw him and it'll be better. I mean, I was thinking, well, the guy does Godcast, for Christ's sakes. How good could that be?
Godcast, for Christ's sake.
A guy talking about God. You know, or I don't know what he was talking about. But anyway, I was like, lame. I mean, first of all, when you think of different reasons to do a podcast, like different people have different things they do. Like some people were talking about, hey, man, I got wasted the other day. I smoked some pot.
Those are some of the worst ones.
Now let's play some pot safe music. All right, we'll be right back. You know, just shit like that. But
I gotta take a leak. We'll be right back.
I wanted to fill the show with something I did, which is I watch way too much television, Bill. My whole life I have. I was just shut in a lot of my life, and it probably I was one of those people that they talk about. If your child watches over 3 hours of TV, that's too much. And I was like, 3 hours? What about 8 hours? And this is back when they didn't have TiVos. I was watching the shit live. I didn't have a VCR, you know? So anyway, I grew up loving television. Hey, what's wrong with that, right? So,
yeah.
And I still do. And I like talking about it with friends. And that's basically what the show was. So I didn't want to pretend we were at a small-time radio station. But essentially, in our minds, we are. You and I were talking about what Nowhere in Mulberry means to us. And sometimes you and I will reminisce through YouTube or something, these old commercials when we were kids or whatever. And that's turned into the break time, right?
Yes. That's where the break time came from.
And I'll show you, like, hey, Bill, this is where I used to eat when I was a kid. And there'll be a picture of, I was telling you about Crystal's Pizza. And you'll show me a picture of a place where you ate as a kid. But honestly, Nowhere in Mulberry is nostalgia. It's the comfort zone of when... I would say it's a comfort zone of when you were a kid when there were no responsibilities and life was simple. Am I right?
Exactly.
It's the safe place in your head where you can go to just remember happy times in a way. And that's what Nowhere in Mulberry embodies in a way, I would say.
Mulberry is the town of nostalgia and... Nowhere kind of came... Where did the title Nowhere in Mulberry... I think we were trying to figure out the name. We knew Mulberry.
Yeah.
And then I think I was looking at DVDs and I just watched Nowhere in Africa. And I was like, hey, you know what? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think that basically, I didn't explain where the word Mulberry came from. When I was a teenager, I came up with this comic book character named Laughing Boy. And I was trying to come up with where he lived. It was almost like I knew what Mulberry was in my mind, but it didn't have a name yet, right? Like this this kind of the small town that exists in fiction, but it's a great place to live, a great place to grow up where you know the postman and all this stuff. But also it has kick-ass stuff. The whole idea of Mulberry was that in the comic book is it was founded by a mad scientist in a way, and he used all of his mad inventions to establish the town. So it had crazy things in the street, like a self-cleaning street or whatever, or basically all of his inventions were kind of how the town was made up. So it was almost futuristic but old at the same time, you know what I mean?
It was like a it was almost like a pre-Eureka before Eureka was
right, exactly, exactly. And something like that. When I saw Eureka, I kind of got excited, but it wasn't really what I thought of, but still, it's kind of the general idea. My idea is much better than Eureka.
Yes, of course.
But, but that was my idea of what Mulberry was. So then when I wrote other things, I fancied myself a screenwriter at one point, and I would write screenplays, and it was like my Castle Rock. Mulberry was always involved. Either it would be Mulberry Heights, Mulberry Circle, Mulberry Square, Mulberry Town or something. There would always be involved Mulberry. And there was a one point where Steven and I were joint writing a script where he'd write 10 pages, I'd write 10 pages, and we pass it back and forth. And it took place in the city of Mulberry. So when I said I wanted to do a radio show, I wanted to be a radio show in Mulberry in a way. Think of like Grand Theft Auto or something. They have the fake radio stations. I wanted to be something like that. Like, hey, this is the radio show you would hear if you were driving through Mulberry. So that's the concept in a way. So then I was like, Bill, it's got to be something with Mulberry. And you came up with Nowhere in Mulberry. And I don't remember where. Do you?
I was just, like I said, I had just watched the movie Nowhere in Africa, and I thought the whole idea of nowhere in somewhere was kind of genius, and I really kind of lifted it from that.
And that was the name. And, you know, yeah. I'd say sometime later, I'd say we should have called ourselves TV Talk or something like that.
You know, and we've been through that before, like where we just thought it was so – everything was so – bland
right.
with podcasting. It was always pods. It was always a play on podcast or just not clever at all. And we didn't want to be normal.
Yeah.
Because we weren't normal and the show wouldn't be normal.
Exactly. You would see, it was almost like you would look in forums of Podcast Alley or something like that and you would always know what you didn't want to do instantly.
Yeah. It was like people would ask, like, "Well, Nowhere in Mulberry, what the hell does that mean? What is that?" And we're like, "Well, you know, you got to listen to find out."
Right.
We're not gonna give it to you. We're not gonna say, you know, Nowhere in TV Talk. You got to find out what Mulberry is. What's Mulberry for you?
And you know, it would drive me crazy that I would listen to, say, a podcast called TV Talk, and they'd be saying, "Hey, we got our mailbag," and they would have like 10 emails, and I'd be like, "Who? Why the hell are people listening to this shit? It sucks." So there's a little bit of that where you kind of feel like, our show's good, why aren't people listening to it? It's because, honestly, Nowhere in Mulberry probably, you know, it just didn't push us out there. So I would post a show every week on the forums or whatever, and maybe we got some
posts
listeners.
Everywhere. I mean, you probably spent 4 or 5 hours a day just posting the show in various forms.
It was ridiculous, and it took me forever to realize. I would type everything from scratch on every post, and I remember Heather was like, "Why don't you just copy all that and paste it in every forum?" And I was like, you're right. Why aren't I doing that? God, I'm an idiot!" You know, and it was trial and error, folks. I'm telling you. I was really stupid. If I could just remember.
Everything was trial and error at first for us.
And now we've got something that works. So just keep doing. But I remember when we've got our first email from Zebertina from Norway saying she loved the show. And it's like, someone in Norway is listening to the show? You know, it's just crazy.
That was officially awesome.
Yeah, it was like, dude, this girl from Norway likes Nowhere in Mulberry. I guarantee you she was looking up a Norway podcast and saw Nowhere down there on the list. And was like, oh,
you're right.
I'm going to check that out. But that's so cool because I was like, she was like, I love the show. It's hilarious. And I'm like, someone in Norway thinks we're funny. How cool is that?
Our comedy is international, baby.
Or, you know, now we get email or voicemail for people from Australia or
the Philippines,
you know, Britain, you know, California. California's far away, Bill.
Yeah, that California.
No one in Hawaii yet. But I did one time exchange nice emails with people that did a Lost cast, which was nice. And they lived in Oahu where it was filmed. So that was cool. But that's the coolest thing about when you do a show. Because basically it's you, me, Steven, and Vanessa. Every Saturday we'd get together. Sometimes Sunday.
Yeah, it was weekly whenever we first started doing it. We didn't have really a set time. Normally, what was it?
Maybe 5 or something?
Yeah, it was in the late afternoon.
I'd have to usher my wife and child out of the house. They would go to her parents or go out to eat or shopping or something.
Yeah, we started doing it just after Emma was born, right? Because we played Star Wars Galaxies like in the last half of Heather's pregnancy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I remember Emma being, she was a baby while I was still playing Star Wars, so she was maybe 2, I think, maybe when we started, September 2005. Yeah, she was about, no, she was a little over 1, I believe, I'm thinking. Shit, God, I'm bad with math. But anyway, no, she was still a baby, though. So basically, we'd do the show on Saturday, and, you know, I would get a call, you know, can I come home now? Oh, yeah, you can come home. You know? And that's another thing, is when we do the show, I'd go, hey, Bill, I don't know how to edit anything. How do I edit shows?
Yeah, and I would do the editing, and I'd try to do it as fast as I could. Sometimes it was just so monotonous.
Yeah.
Because we were so anal at first that every and ah and had to be edited out.
Oh, there's at least, I think it's episode 3 or 4 that is, it's almost over edited if you listen to it. It's really funny. There's like no delays between talking or whatever.
Yeah, I would even edit out the silences. Yeah. So it would seem like it's moving faster.
All right, let's do the news. Hey, Bill, what's in the news this week? Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, today in the news, you know, it's just like,
yeah, and
wow,
you took
it really
over
flows.
Editing like what? Like around, God, episode 30 or so?
God, I think it was 20 something. Maybe 26
because
or something like that.
I think, yeah, like you decided that you wanted to try, you wanted to figure it out yourself.
Basically, I was like, I need to learn this. I need to just, because in fact, you even found me software called Propaganda, and I was afraid to use it at first. I had it for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think there's even certain shows that I posted just unedited before then. It's like, ah, screw it. I'll just post it the way it is. There's nothing wrong with it or whatever. But finally, I started messing around with it. And, you know, it's probably through any program, editing software. It's trial and error. It's learn as you go. And then finally, I started experimenting. No, I remember what it was. Episode 17, Bill, was the clip show. And I edited all that together, remember? It was you and me. We're fighting zombies. We're trying to win your home back from the zombies. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. And the brown coat zombies had invaded my library.
And that was my first big editing job. I was finding old clips from episode 1 through 16. I was putting in gunshots. I was just going insane. And I would say episode 17 is where I learned how to edit, you know? It's almost like I was thinking too big, more than I could actually do. So
yeah, but it came out pretty great.
It's fun to listen back to, and then, you know, then I got more aggressive later on. I was like, I won't just have a gunshot. I'll have a blood splatter sound, you know.
50 gunshots.
Yeah, I'll have different zombie moans, not just one. And, you know, I just wanted to go insane, and then eventually
there was one day where we spent the entire day looking for explosions and gunshot sounds.
Yeah, and then I realized, oh, that's not even making drops. I didn't even know how to do that. Freecorder is a program that you found me to record movie clips and stuff. Remember, I do movie drops and stuff? And the way I used to do clips was so retarded. I didn't even understand. And now it's like so easy and fast the way I can do it where, you know, I'll make a clip and then I'll instantly make drops out of the clip in case I want to use them or whatever. But before I'd go back, I go, oh, there's a funny drop on our last episode. oh, let me go back and listen to it. And I'd listen to it. I'd find it. I'd hit pause. Then I'd get free quarter, hit play, and record that sound happening. Then it'd stop. And then I'd have my sound over an old show. It was so stupid. Why wouldn't I just put the file in editing software and cut the sound out, you know? But that's how small-minded I was. I didn't think that I could do that. I was like, oh, I have to re-record it, you know?
it was a point in time where you were actually recording off of your center channel speaker.
Yes. Technically, I only did that once because it sounded so bad. It was a My Name is Earl clip, and I was like, oh, I'll just record it off the center channel. And then when I listened to it, I was like, hey, Bill, does this sound like I recorded off the center channel? Yes, it does.
I think I even asked, did you record this off the center channel?
I was like, damn, it's too obvious. But it's been a lot of fun over time. I mean, one thing we know from doing it week and week, when I'm enthusiastic or I'm excited about it, everything's fine. But whenever the show starts to become a chore, we know it's time to take a break, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It got to the point when I took my first sabbatical, we were kind of grating on each other's nerves, and Vanessa was on my nerves to no end.
Right.
And I started getting loud-mouthy and sassing back at her, and you got pissed at me, and then I got pissed at you, and then I was like, fine, I'm done. That's it.
Yeah, it would become like the younger sister thing. Now, do I defend her? Do I let her defend herself? Or it became too much where we're just like, we're supposed to be having fun, you know what I mean? And I can understand, Vanessa was like a sister to you in a way where you would fight with her the way I would fight with her.
Yeah, really.
Because Vanessa and I could, basically the way Vanessa and me are, is we get along great, but then when we fight, we have to go in our separate corners for like a week. I'm not talking about for a few minutes. And then, you know, oh, Vanessa, whatever. She never says she's sorry. It's me who has to take a shot and just say, okay, I'm sorry, can we be friends again or whatever. Okay, fine. And when you know it's bad when she'd say, are you apologizing to me just to get me back on the show, or are you really sorry?
There was a couple times we had to do that,
and my answer would be, what does it matter?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But anyway, but Vanessa left the show for a while anyway. But anyway, I would say it was nearing episode 90 when I was thinking, we've been doing 90 episodes of Nowhere in Mulberry. It's like, we've got to do something different. And we've even thought about doing a live show. Like, how can we do a live show? And it's the same trial and error shit, isn't it? Like, how do we do a live show?
Yeah, we were looking into all kinds of different things.
There's something called Skype casting. That sounds lame. Skype's unstable anyway. Because there's also, what was that thing? It's called Talk Chat? No, what was that thing? TalkShoe.
You're right, TalkShoe.
We looked into TalkShoe.
I completely forgot about TalkShoe.
We thought about doing a TalkShoe show for a while, but the problem was that I'm a procrastinator.
We're so alike.
Yeah. So I'd still to this day look at podcasting forums just to see how lame they are. They're so filled with no information that's worthwhile, and the people on there are know-it-all assholes anyway. So I saw Radio Dan make a post about something, and someone was asking about internet radio, and Radio Dan said, hey, I run an internet radio station. I'm the program director or whatever. It's like, Dan, who are you trying to fool now? But anyway, I was like, oh, that's so cool. And so I switched over to Talk Radio X and looked at it. I was like, huh, this is interesting. What is it? And it just has a bunch of, like, where they would play podcasts to fill airtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, I could just give them, you know, my show. Give them our show, Nowhere in Mulberry. And he could play it anytime on the schedule. That's pretty cool when you think about it. So I emailed Dan and said, hey, I'd like to be on Talk Radio X. Here's my podcast. Is it, you know, if you think it's good enough, let me know or whatever. So Dan shot back, hey, the show's great. I'd love to play it on the air. I was like, awesome. You know, like, hey.
That was a day for us. Like, wow.
Cool.
They like us.
They really like us. Little did we know, they will let anyone on the air.
Yeah.
They'll let a guy say, here's my fart. Pretty cool, huh?
They actually had that.
Here's another fart.
I think they still do.
Yeah, Fartcast.
Remember the guy that they brought on that would do a radio show and he would prank truckers on the CB radio and they thought it was like, what?
Yeah, what the hell was
like
that?
Cousin Joe or something. Oh, God, there was some really terrible stuff
dude.
On there.
Meeting's over.
So they would after our show, they put, first it was the Jimmy Jube show. It was some guy.
Jimmy Jubes.
Jimmy Jim show. Some guy in his bathroom on a speakerphone.
Was that when we were just a podcast for a while?
Yeah, that was when we were just a podcast.
Basically, they just instantly, you know, I would upload to the FTP our episode on theirs. And it would have to be 2 hours or something like that. So anyway, I remember there was one time where Antebert, who did the live test show, I didn't even know what his show was at the time, but Radio Dan, I started listening to Radio Dan's show. I was like, hey, it's cool. He talks about film and TV and stuff just like we do. And he was like, hey, would you guys like to fill in and do a live show? You could, you know, I know you keep saying, I basically kept putting him off when he said, when do you guys want to go live? And I said, sometime soon, we'll think about it. When really, I was just procrastinating, right? I was like, oh, we'll work on it.
I think we were kind of frightened, actually.
In a way, yeah, I would say so. And when he said, hey, you could fill in for Antebert, he's going to be out of town all week. Could you fill in for him? And I said, sure. And then I was like, huh? And then, you know, he had to, back then when we'd connect to Talk Radio X, it would just be like a Skype conference. I would just connect to Skype, their Skype number, and it would have you on or Vanessa on or whatever. So
that was really taxing.
Yeah.
Sounded terrible.
Yeah, I didn't realize people would say you're breaking up and shit like that. Basically, we would be in the chat room to do the show. I'd have to just close the chat room because I'd see so many people saying, oh, it's messing up or something. And it would drive me crazy and I would lose my train of thought. So it's just better not to even think about that shit, you know, while you're doing a show. I would just say, in the podcast, it'll be okay.
It'll sound much better.
And I used to record our show on the computer using FreeCorder, right? Mm-hmm. So
and that would even use up more processing power.
Well, I remember when we first went on live for the first time, taking over for Antebert's show, Dan said, something sounds wrong. It sounds sped up or something. And I was like, huh? And I was kind of panicking because it was the first time on the air. So I hit stop on the FreeCorder and he goes, oh, there you go. It sounds better now. And I was like, oh, shit, I can't record the show.
Yeah.
So that first show, if you listen to it, it sounds great for the first, like, 3 minutes. And then the sound goes to shit. That's because I hit stop on FreeCorder and then later Dan gave me a copy of the show from his computer of what we sounded like. So it goes from sounding great to like shit. And I posted that and made it available for our listeners just as a historical document, Bill, because it was our first time live.
Rough historical document.
But then, you know, I started using a digital recorder to record the show, and that's much better anyway because it doesn't take any bandwidth from the computer.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that that happened just so it's better to record now. But I'm trying to think, you know, I should have taken, like, questions from people of what they wanted answered, you know. People want to know who Foggy is, or Bordop, the guy who plays drops. Truly, he's a mystery, wouldn't you say? He's very private.
He's definitely a mysterious person.
He's very private. He does drops. He started out really bad and got better, I'd say, over time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever really seen his face. He's a silhouette.
He's always in silhouette. He sits in the dark, where sometimes he looks and you can see his eyes through the shadows.
That's, I think, the most disconcerting thing about him.
Yeah, very mysterious. And that's the way it's going to stay. Foggy's just a mysterious person. He's our, would you say, who's that kid on South Park who never talks? You never hear him talk?
Oh, Kenny.
He's like Kenny, or he's that guy on Tim Taylor, the tool man, who never speaks all the way over his fence.
I can't remember that.
What was that?
I remember the show. I don't remember the guy's name.
Neither do I, but...
Wilson!
Yeah, he's like Wilson, but the audio version. But he plays great drops, doesn't he?
He does. He's very good at it now.
Right, Foggy? Huh?
Fuck you, asshole.
Whoa!
Fuck you, asshole.
Good Lord, man. I was giving a compliment. Jesus.
He sounds
you
a lot like Bill
son
Duke
of a bitch.
He's a huge Schwarzenegger fan, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I eat green berets for breakfast.
And right now I'm very hungry.
I've always loved the bass of that drop. That you know, how cool would it be if you threw a punch and you heard that kind of bass out of it? I'd be like, dude, I am kicking ass.
I'm a badass.
I'm a badass.
Legend.
But seriously, so anyway, we were on Talk Radio X for a while, weren't we? We did like 30 plus shows on there.
Yeah, and it went well until, quite frankly, I started getting upset at the people that followed us. I don't know why. I don't know why
it Toby,
mattered
wasn't it?
To me. What?
It was Toby. Nocturnal Emissions.
Yeah, Toby. Oh, man.
I still have
Toby
audio of that
the
shit.
First.
Yeah.
For the first live show. And, you know, we do the show for, we would do the show for 2 hours and get upset because we would try and squeeze in the 2 hours. And sometimes we would get cut off. And I think that's what would piss us off the most is we would get cut off for the garbage that they would put on after.
Right, you were right. That's where it started. I remember now. We would get cut off while talking, and I'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah, and at first it was like it was a recording. It was like Jimmy Jubes. And then it was Toby who would do this live show. And I remember the first night he did it, it was him and a couple of his friends all sitting around talking on one mic. So you couldn't hear anybody but Toby, and they were just drinking and saying dumb shit, and it got really upsetting to me that we were getting cut off for this garbage.
Right, right.
So we started. So, you know, of course, Andy and a couple other people were in the chat room egging me on. So I started calling, and I got into it with them, and. Then they eventually had to hang up on me because I wouldn't hang up. They wanted me to hang up, but I wouldn't hang up. So they had to hang up on me. And then it turned into Andy and his knives and stabbing weapons quote from Terminator 2.
Yeah, he'd just been on the show recently or something like that.
Yeah. So I started calling the shows and just saying knives and stabbing weapons and seeing how we could work knives and stabbing weapons into the show. And Toby did a show after our show one night. It was all about 9/11 and the conspiracy of 9/11. And he was 100% serious.
Oh, he was dead serious.
And he was really, really dramatic about it. And
to the point where it was hilarious. He's just so serious about it.
So all of us in the chat room, me, Andy, a couple of our listeners, started calling in and asking him, just saying knives and stabbing weapons over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then I called in and I started to bullshit him, and we were talking about 9/11, and then I worked in knives and stabbing weapons a couple times, and that pissed him off. And the next week, Toby wasn't there.
Yeah, and I remember Vanessa had even come back, and she joined in. And the shtick was to call Toby and act like you had a real subject to talk about, and talk with him a bit, and then drop in knives and stabbing weapons. Like Vanessa, I remember Vanessa was like, "Well, I wanted to talk about 9/11 and all this stuff, and." You know, it was really sad with the knives and stabbing weapons. And I just remember Toby going, it's not funny.
Yeah.
Just like, oh. And she was like, oh, sorry. And she hung up. I thought it was hilarious the way she said, sorry. It's not funny. And I was starting to feel sorry for the guy. because
I did too.
I was like, here's this.
He didn't come back. I felt bad, and I remember you emailed him.
I was like, here's this guy. He's just trying to do his show, and I was like, hey, I want to apologize for it. Please come back to your show. And he's like, no, I'm done.
So after that, they put on the Kevin Smith show, some Art Bell wannabe, some Coast to Coast AM Art Bell wannabe. So I called in and said I worked in the Valley of California, and then I started dropping the knives and stabbing weapons thing. And I was the only one to do it that night. And then I think like a night, the next night, they brought on B-Dub.
Right.
This incredibly acerbic douchebag who was a Howard Stern, Tom Likas wannabe that just fucking got on my nerves so bad. It was one of those nights where we got cut off for this guy. So I sat in the chat room and just egged him on. I just kept typing shit, like bad mouthing him, and he kept going like, well, you know, some people in the chat room are big men and they wanna be insulting and all this stuff. And how about if you call me on the air and we'll have it out? And I was just like, I'm not gonna call this asshole. I'm just gonna sit here and you know, berate him and be nasty. And he called me. He right. had my, I don't know how he got my Skype, but he actually called me.
I remember that.
And I answered it. You know, if I'm being called, I'm going to answer. I'm not going to back down and ignore it, because that's just going to give him more, you know, ammunition. So he called me, and then we were bitching back and forth on the air, and he, of course, plays Mr. Innocent. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't. You know, I'm unique, kind of bullshit. And it really, I think the Talk Radio X thing kind of spiraled out of control from there.
Basically, what happened is, I would say the key moment, basically, when we first went on Talk Radio X, Antebert, he talked us up, he kissed our ass a little.
Not the Mulberry Boys. He had us on his live test show.
Yeah, we were on the live test show. Everything was... There was still something douchey about him the whole time, I thought.
Oh, yeah, it was totally fake.
But I would give the guy the benefit of the doubt. He's letting us be on his radio station. Okay, whatever. I don't have to hang out with the guy, so it's no big deal. So, anyway, he honestly... He wants Talk Radio X to be a success, and that's fine. I wish him nothing but the best. But there was one point where B-Dub was talking about, you know, you kind of were like trading jabs, kind of like, you know, two guys just kind of, his whole shtick, and it is a shtick, or it was a shtick, I don't think he does a show anymore, I guess he got burned out on that, but he would be cocky, right? And it was about how many listeners he had. And you have a way of looking up on Talk Radio X how many listeners are listening at that time, right?
Yeah, you can look at the Shoutcast server.
Right.
And all the various servers they had. And I looked at all of them.
Yeah. And
they had like a total of like 15 listeners.
I think it was 8 at the time.
Oh, okay.
Because it sounded really bad. You were like, hey, if you have so many listeners, then why do you only have 8 that I'm looking at here right now? And he was like, oh, is that how many I have? And you could tell it was just kind of like, ooh, low blow.
Yeah,
he just got bad. Socked in the nuts, basically. And all of a sudden you hear Antebert. I just want to interrupt for a minute. We have multiple servers, and we have more than 8 listeners at this time. Which you knew automatically he was full of shit. And yeah. He was just embarrassed by it. He was embarrassed because his little fake radio station, all of a sudden it was announced, only had 8 listeners at that time, which was pretty good for Talk Radio X, so B-Dub should have been proud, right?
And especially for being almost 1 in the morning.
So anyway, I felt embarrassed by that too, because I wasn't that... I just felt like, can't we all just get along? I'm the peacemaker kind of guy. So here's where, like, you probably didn't get along with Antebird or whatever... You know what I mean? And I would be like, no, Bill, it's all right, or whatever. Let's just keep doing our show and all that. But there kept being little barbs. We never listened to the live test show, but if I did, every once in a while I'd catch him make a comment about us, right? yeah. about, well, they're not really a live show. They're more of like a podcast. And yeah. I'd go, well, actually, we are a podcast, but we're a live show because we do it live. That makes us a live show. We're doing it live, just like we're doing this show live.
Fuck it, we'll do it live!
Because Andy, right now, is in our chat room listening to us record the show, so it's live, right?
Yeah.
It's not just a podcast.
Live to us and him.
Yeah, it's not just a podcast. So anyway, he would make little barbs like that. Like, Natural Radio is with the ums and the ahs, and it has natural tempo to it. And they have an edited show, and I'd be like, what the fuck is he... Why is he talking about our show like this? What the hell? He used to kiss our ass. We were the Mulberry Boys. But it turns out that he was all prissy about the 8 listener things. He was holding a grudge about it. So I took the time and said, hey, Antibert, I'm sorry about that. I apologize. Bill didn't mean anything. He was just in an argument with B-Dub. It meant nothing to reflect on Talk Radio X. And I hope you understand. Yes, Jason, I understand. No big deal. I was never upset. Lie. Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Instant lie. So it's like, oh, okay. So everything's cool. So then you'd listen to again and go, the Mulberry Boys, they don't really do a live show. I was like, what the hell? It's like I'm freaking recording what he said again.
Yeah.
And not that I even cared. I would just kind of laugh about it. You know, I would say, oh, whatever. Let's just keep doing our live show. And we did. We did over 30 episodes. But slowly, it almost became like, why the hell am I wasting time with my show, Nowhere in Mulberry, on this guy's fake radio station if he doesn't even care for us, if he doesn't even like us? If and I remember, do you remember our Cloverfield episode? We did the show live. Where it was like Cloverfield, a monster attacking Mulberry. That was my answer to show him, look, fucko, this is a live show. We're doing this shit live. A monster is attacking Mulberry, and we're talking about film, TV, pop culture. We have the army attacking. We have all this shit. And it was to show him, look, we can do live shit. And this shit, I'm, you know, the drops and the sound effects, they're being played live, off the cuff, just to show you that we can do this shit. We're a decent live show. And that was kind of like a big F you, like, this is what Mulberry can be, you know? We don't have to be B-Dub and say pussy a lot and talk about Snatch and
hot slices of Snatch.
Hot slices of Snatch. We don't have to be disgusting or...
Or have videos of ourselves talking in our car about what we do.
Or you know, talking about women and it being funny because, hey, I'm such a misogynist, you know. Ooh,
yeah,
women are just there to do me or whatever. Yeah,
we would play pod safe music.
Yeah,
and take a smoke break. And
And the worst part, when you're doing a radio show and you need to take a smoke break and then you tell people about your smoke break like it's something important, it's really sad. But anyway, I gotta admit, I was feeling a little underappreciated. So the Cloverfield episode of Nowhere in Mulberry was the answer to that.
Yeah.
And I was.
Then from there, it turned into the thing with Andy.
Right.
Radio Dan started doing the week in review of Talk Radio X, and Andy was on it, and he badmouthed every show appropriately. Except ours.
And honestly, yeah, he was being honest, though. He wasn't doing a shtick.
Oh,
either.
And I'm forgetting the whole thing that led up to that. Andy, because of us, then got into contact with Radio Dan, and they became chummy.
Yeah.
And Radio Dan put the Hollywood Saloon on.
Right.
Radio
you know what?
X
let's call
on,
Andy.
Like, Saturday afternoon.
Let's call
something.
Andy
or,
real
no,
quick.
Saturday nights.
Bill, and let's see if Andy will tell us a little bit about this, okay?
Okay.
Just hold on a second. I'm going to call Andy and see if he'll tell us.
All right.
Let me see if it's calling.
The Lost episode's turning into the anti-Talk Radio X episode.
Yeah, and I don't want it to. I don't want to sound bitter or anything. I just want to say the reason...
No, we're not bitter. They started us on the road that we're on now, where we do the show live on our own site.
May I interrupt, please?
Oh, hey, Eugene. Where have you been, buddy?
What? Do you want this damn weather report or not? For the love of Christ, I've been waiting for months.
Oh, the weather? The traffic report?
I'm dialing my radio And then there you are again. We've been trying to get a hold of you since October.
Where's
the lunch show?
The lunchtime show. The lunchtime show got canceled, dude.
Well, you know, I've had this damn weather report forever. I've been doing it every day and just sending it to your email and never hearing back.
I know. I just got to delete them because we don't do the lunchtime show anymore. I'm sorry.
Oh, but we appreciate thanks a lot, Mr. Asswipe.
Asswipe? Hey, you watch yourself. You were going to do what?
I'm telling you. I'm just telling you.
Hey,
hello?
Eugene.
Telling us hello, what? Is this on? Can you hear me?
Hey, Eugene.
Yes?
Joss Whedon's Dollhouse comes on soon. Are you excited?
I'm leading the campaign to make sure it has a second season already. We're writing in letters.
It's good to
and
get
sending in diapers and all
yeah,
that
you better
stuff.
Start that now before it's canceled again.
Oh, we've already sent it in. My bad. That's not happening. Already ahead of you. Already ahead of you.
Hey, Eugene, are you a big Eliza Dushku fan?
She's not from Firefly, so, you know, she's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's all right.
Well, like are you sad that the show doesn't have anybody from Firefly in it?
It's repugnant.
Repugnant?
Repugnant.
It's repugnant, and, you know, we need to get it together and start the campaign.
Eugene, can we have the traffic report?
Please.
Yes. Ready? Traffic is crap. That is all.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, well, we got to call Andy now, okay? Because we need to speak to Andy, so I'm going to let you go, all right?
Don't talk to that brutal. Okay, goodbye.
Enjoy the Hollywood Saloon. Bye. All right, I'm going to call Andy now. Beep, beep, beep.
Can't believe that asshole called us.
I know. You know, we used to need a traffic report from him every day, and we could never get a hold of him.
He wouldn't show up.
I know, let's see.
He'd just take the traffic copter, and I don't even know where he went.
Oh. Okay. Okay, and...
We'll put that on the air. We don't want to give away his number.
Okay, 555. It's like when I was watching Fringe.
Oh.
Hey, Andy!
My friend, hello, how are you doing today?
Hey, it's Andy of the Hollywood Saloon! Cue fake claps. Clap, 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 clap.
I have been enjoying this live broadcast.
Yes.
Nolan Mulberry.
Well, thank you, Andy. Oh, thank you, Foggy. Yeah, there's just claps. But, Andy, we were just talking about our days at Talk Radio X, right?
Oh.
We finally wanted to fill our listeners in why we left and all that kind of thing. And Bill brought up that part of it was when the Hollywood Saloon was on Talk Radio X. Am I right?
Yes.
And I don't know. I don't want this to seem like dirty laundry or whatever, but we stayed quiet for a long time. Like over a year has passed, and I think we can tell our listeners about this, right?
Put it to bed.
So I wanted you to just tell your side of the story.
My side of the story is a lot like you guys. You know, it's just having to deal with a raging jackass and. You know, the poor guy is lost in the world of... And I remember the thing that got him the most mad about me.
You're talking about Antebert, right?
Right.
Antebert was when he said... when I said that he was playing radio. That was the thing that he never let go that I said.
Right. Well, let me start off... First, Andy, let me start off with... the Hollywood Saloon was being played Sunday nights on Talk Radio X.
Right.
And we were... you were... talking to Dan, everything was fine. Then start from there and how it snowballed from there.
Oh, well, you know, and, you know, we were friends with Dan and still are to a certain extent. I haven't actually talked to him in a while, but, you know, what had happened was just that he invited me to come on his weekly report and to do my shtick. I mean, he wanted me to be kind of a hard ass, and the word that he had used was roast.
Right.
You know, like a roast. Play a clip and then roast it. And to me, when I hear that, it's, you know, I mean, you guys remember the old Dean Martin roasts.
Yeah.
You know, you remember, it's like you knock the snot out of somebody for fun. And so, you know, that's basically what I did. And Annenberg took it the wrong way. And because remember, it was all about love within the family of TRX and everyone had to do each other right
yeah.
and promote each other. And, boy, it just swung all out of control at that point.
And I felt really bad for you because, honestly, I knew that you didn't mean any kind of smear campaign, right?
No, not at all. Well, I was doing what I was asked to do.
Right.
And that's why I was brought on the show, was to add that kind of a vibe to it.
And Antebert, I would say that he would prefer this. It was the Talk Radio X podcast, as I remember, that it would just be like a best of podcast every week playing the clips. Basically,
right.
and
that wasn't what Dan had in mind. Dan had in mind to...
They were basically on the wrong page, and it wasn't your fault because of that.
No, and, I did what I was asked to do, but then I was never forgiven for that. I even went on and did a big, long showdown between Antebert and myself on, what's that other guy's show? Tyler Hollywood.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounded like we worked it out, but then remember later on, I was asking them, you know, would there be room for an Andy type of a show, for something that I could try?
No.
And my intent was to bring down Talk Radio X. And all this stuff with, oh, we're cool now, we're friends now, was all like kind of...
It was bullshit.
It was all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit for the three listeners who are listening.
Right. And so that's when we bolted. We were like, you know, we're gone. Bye-bye.
Honestly, I could put up with everything. We did the Oscar show. You remember that, Bill? We did a three-hour show with Andy.
It was almost 4 hours. And when it was over... We even had Dan on, and when it was over, we ended it. It was done. There was 15 minutes left till the top of the hour.
My wife and child came. They were coming in the door, and I go, well, that's it, everybody. Have a good one. And the Oscars were over. We did a marathon show. So then I cut us off. The show was over.
Yeah.
And then
Antebert gets on. He's like, oh, okay, well, I guess there's... We can't, you know, they can't be bothered to do a real show and finish out the hour, so I'm going to come on.
You sound like Jerry Seinfeld there.
What is the deal with the Mulberry Boys?
He does. He sounds like Seinfeld.
I could kind of hear it.
Here's my final say on the whole thing, at least pertaining to my part of it, is if you want to play pretend like you're a real radio, but at the same time not only back certain people, I mean, it's like, to me, you're spinning your wheels. And, you know, God bless them, but they, you know, I don't know. I don't take it seriously. You know, and I think they're waiting for the day when it's going to blow up and explode, and I wish them well. And I definitely want the best for Dan and Jessica because I think they're talented, good folks.
So do I.
I like them a lot. But at the same time, I think they're tied to a dead weight. And
what are you talking about?
And besides, never quite understanding the concept of podcasting.
Yeah,
like
the whole time.
Slamming it for slamming it.
Antebert was always anti-podcast.
Well, that's what's so ridiculous. Imagine it's like, okay, you have in this society today, this video on demand society, where you tell people, you have to come to my show at 7 p.m., to 8 p.m. or whatever, and you have to listen to it when I say you have to listen to it, as opposed to someone saying, well, I'll put it on a site so you can download it and listen to it at your leisure. You know, it's like, give them the option. It's like, you can still do your shit live. But
it makes no sense. It's like talking to a brick wall.
You know what? It's backwards radio in that that's exactly what radio's stepping away from.
Right, and I can understand. He wants people to listen to his live show. My idea, remember this, Bill? I was so pathetic. I was like, hey, we will get in the good graces of Talk Radio X. Let's start playing ads for Talk Radio X on our podcast because, honestly, more people listen to our podcast than listen to us live.
Yeah.
So let's do that. And I said, hey, if anybody who does shows on Talk Radio X wants me to play a promo, I will. Nothing. Crickets. So I was like, okay, well, no, nobody's interested. So, I mean, at least Antebert would see that I was trying. And even the fact that there was one time where someone tried to call us during the opening of the show where I'm like, hey, everybody, how's it going? And I'm getting a phone call right then, right when the show's starting. So I'm like, deny, no, I'm starting the show. And Antebert's like, they don't even take phone calls. Obviously, it was someone who knew Antebert calling.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you about the kind of phone calls that they take. If you remember that whole series of time when all they had was like those two gay guys that called up to every single show over and over and over. And it was to the point where they were ruling the station. they would demand the time, and to be nice, they would keep them on the phone, and then they'd go 30 to 45 minutes talking about whatever they wanted to talk about. And it's like, that's not talk radio. That's just a party line.
It's
the inmates were running the asylum.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
So what we started to try to take calls, and we were getting those same calls, and not only would it push our show, it would ruin our show. They would take all the time. And we would get cut off after 2 hours.
Honestly, no one wants call-ins on our show. I mean, unless it's Andy.
The point is this. Self-indulgent bullshit has a place, okay? And, you know, I've learned through Hollywood Saloon that if you compartmentalize that shit, and I know you guys do a lot of it toward the beginning of your show, and it makes sense that way, but it's like you take that stuff and put it over here, and whoever wants it can have it. But it's like if your entire show is just meandering, self-indulgent shit, no one's going to want to come back to that because it's just like eavesdropping in on people talking about whatever comes across their mind. That's I just don't see how that's interesting in any way.
Right.
Even in talk radio. Talk radio isn't like that. At least the talk radio host gets on to 30 minutes of a topic.
Yeah.
And then says, well, today we're going to talk about, you know, Barack Obama. And so that day they talk about Barack Obama instead
of,
you know, just being, you know, well, did you see the latest? Whatever, you know?
And you know what, Andy? And my whole point is also that more power to them if they want to do that. But don't tell me that what we're doing isn't radio because we're not doing that shit. Because I'm not taking inane phone calls.
Well, and you know what? Here was the correct response. You guys are so much bigger than what they offered, okay? You guys, what you're doing with live is Herculean compared. You proved that, like you said, with your live Cloverfield show. That was outstanding. Still probably the best live work you've ever done. Okay? And that proved it right there. It's like, well, we can take calls from the same six people over and over and over again.
I just took a shit, guys. Exactly. You want to hear about it? No, we don't. Bye. Yeah, click.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You guys are so bigger than that. It's nice.
Thank you.
It's not even worth the time that you guys are giving to it right now because you're bigger than that, you're better than that, and you know they don't know what they lost, and you know, and it's happened again and again and again. God, the optimum thing that we want to do is to steal away Dan and Jessica from that nightmare. But
honestly,
you know,
the reason I stuck around for so long is because I like Dan and Jessica so much.
Right.
Yeah.
And
in fact, I wanted us to leave earlier. Like, I kept bugging you, Jason, going, come on, let's come on. We don't need
this. We'll do our own thing. Let's go to Now Live or something like that. And I would say, no. And it wasn't until Andy, you wanted to do a show, and Antibert said no, that I was like, all right, screw this, let's go. Because I thought
I hate to be the reason that maybe the final blow, but. You know, because you guys. You're not.
Because you're my friend, and for this jagoff who does a friggin' glorified shoutcast feed, not let you do a show on there when he accepts guys who do shows.
The only thing that was offensive about that, right, was that they would let, like you said, hey, I'm Mr. Fartman.
I remember after they took the saloon off.
No, they didn't take it off. I asked them to take it off.
Well, after you asked them to take it off, they put on. Some guy, Twisted's Blue Room.
It was a guy
that worked in a porn store.
And it was some of the most offensive, and I can take offensive, okay? But it was offensive and worthless. It was like, oh, this is the shot, this is, and then he blew all over her chest, and, you know, or whatever. And he's just like, oh my God.
It's like, dude, I'd rather hear about that gay guy shit than this crap.
Exactly. I'd rather hear about the massive shit the gay guy took.
Oh, hey, God, I got diarrhea. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Let me say my say on this show real quick, all right? Give me the floor for a minute.
Okay.
Let me just say this. I found you guys, I guess what, maybe like you said, seven shows in or something.
Right.
And I immediately recognized your talent and made contact with you guys. I consider myself a massive fan of Nowhere Mulberry, and I always will, because you guys, and through that time, we've become friends, and you've given me a place to do some comedy junk, you know, that I wouldn't have room for on the Hollywood Saloon. So, honestly, you know, as you guys go through and you look at all the stuff you've done, I want to thank you guys for, you know, that you've inspired me big time as well. And I'm glad that we have this friendship and that we've kind of come through these podcast things together. You know, Jason, it's hilarious when you're talking about the old school stuff. We were remember the podcast masters and podcast 411 and all those guys giving hints and tips and, you know, shows should only be 30 minutes long and 15 minutes long. People will lose their attention span and just, you know, throwing monkey shit at that stuff and recognizing it and
so
learning,
learning to do what we do,
you know, by trial and error. I mean, there's gold in that time, you know, in that time that we learned how to do all this to the point we're at now. And so it's been a great journey, and I'm glad that you guys, we've been hooked up together, you know, kind of being the brother, the sister show to each other, you know, so.
Definitely.
You are my brothers!
We are brothers! The Quickening!
Brothers.
Oh, God.
And Andy, I got to say this, I wish... Talk Radio X, nothing but the best. But the one thing we learned from our whole time at Talk Radio X is maybe we don't work well with others. Maybe it's because we'd rather do our own thing and we'd rather be known as Nowhere in Mulberry than the show that comes on before B-Dub. You know? Maybe that's what it was. And may I say that B-Dub is no longer with the station because he decided to do his own radio station. So,
and it's all podcasts of political shows.
I think that basically what it is when you work real hard on something you care about and it's being dictated by some guy who has no stake in what you're doing, nothing on the creative end, and he tells you when you sign on and sign off, you're like, I don't have to do this. Why bother? It's not like I'm getting anything out of it.
News? Remember when they brought the news feeds on? That was like a huge
show. Oh, yeah.
Ollie Barrett.
Ollie Barrett. Good. What a joke. Hey, I'll play Ollie Barrett, and it'll seem like we're real radio.
Had to take a break at the top of the hour so that he could play some three-minute news clip about what happened in Afghanistan
that day. What a joke. So pathetic.
Today in Estonia. Yeah, it was
like,
absolutely ridiculous.
Hey, I want to interrupt your live show in the middle of it to play this that no one cares about. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because we're real
sound
radio.
Like we're a real station. Okay, well, where's your advertising dollars, Jack?
Where? That was my Antebert impression of exhaling cigarette smoke while laughing.
Motley.
Motley. And you know what? Whatever. Basically, the way I feel about Antebert is nothing. I honestly don't think about the guy at all. But for this show, it's been
so
nice to revisit.
Since we left TRX, I haven't listened to it once, which is sad because I really love Dan and Jessica. I should download their show. But from what I understand, I have to sign up on the Talk Radio X site to download their show, and I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I was telling Dan, I go, hey, I would download your podcast and stuff. What happened? He goes, oh, well, now you got to go to TRX to listen to my show where it's the... and stream it or whatever, and I was like, wow, I guess I can't listen anymore.
Hey, can we make a pact that we call Annabert, that we call B-Dub and start harassing him again, please?
I don't think B-Dub does a show anymore.
Yeah, I think he got burnt out.
Oh, I thought he still did a show.
I have no idea.
I know he moved to Washington, D.C., and now all of a sudden he's B-Dub the Politico.
Oh, well, we got to call him.
And I never really cared about that guy. I never even called his show, but...
I just thought he was an asshole that had to be, made fun of.
He's just a guy doing his show, and he was obviously interested in other subjects than we were.
Yeah.
One time I told Bill, I go, if you wouldn't have run Toby off, we wouldn't have B-Dub. I'd rather have Toby after us.
Knives and stabbing weapons.
Yeah.
He never understood what that meant or whatever.
I remember when the 9/11 show with Toby, he was talking about, like, molten metal at the bottom of the Twin Towers. And we were talking about the whole thing, and that led up to me going, well, you know, they could use that molten metal for knives and stabbing weapons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? Our last show on the air, I don't remember what it was. Was it 1:30-something? Ah, I should have had this shit prepared. But I remember the night we were going to quit, I was like, I'm going to mention that this is our last show on the air, Bill, at the end of the show.
And yeah, then, that worked.
Do you remember this? We're getting ready. We were going to be cut off or whatever. So I was going to say, by the way, this is our last. And I wasn't going to do anything tacky like, fuck you guys or anything like that. I was just going to, because I told Bill that we're going to be classy. Right? So I'm going to say this is our final show in there. Then who calls in but Jessica? Hey, guys. How's it going?
No. She took all the bite out of it.
And is this a party line?
That's a Courtney cameo.
But she's talking to us about stuff, and I was like, I can't do it, Bill. I sent you a message. Bill can't do it.
Yeah, it sucked. Oh, my God, did that suck. There was like 15 minutes left. We're doing DVDs.
Because I in no way wanted to involve Jessica. She's been nothing but nice to us, so I couldn't do it. So we just ended the show like normal.
And we continued talking to her and said, well, honestly, this is it. And we talked for like another 30 minutes, but it sucked.
It was bad. And honestly, the way I feel about it is even if Antebert wasn't there and it was just talk radio, we had to do our own thing. It's better doing your own feed. Honestly, I think that Radio Dan and Jessica would get more listeners being on Now Live or something, where there's regular listeners there all the time listening to live shows. And they do a show daily, right? Except for Saturday. They would get regular listeners that way. I have no idea how many listeners they get on Talk Radio X. I have no idea, but I wish them nothing but success. But for the rest of them, I could give a shit, you know?
Well, remember, they've got enough listeners to have an enemy of TRX.
Yeah, what is that?
Remember Rogue Planet Zero?
My first idea was thinking a little grand. We'll start our own online radio station, and we'll have
all
film television shows.
Well, we couldn't even get to the point where we could come up with a name.
No, we argued for like a month about a name.
My idea was I'm going to ask all the film, television, pop culture podcasts that I like, and it'll be a film, television, pop culture channel where people could go to listen all the time. And the problem is Andy's too difficult to work with, so it just didn't happen.
That was great.
Andy is a gigantic pain in the ass.
Andy's like Kubrick when it comes to podcasting.
Now you know about the suffering of poor John Jansen if he has a deal.
Yeah, right.
The Stanley Kubrick of podcasting.
You've got nothing on John Jansen.
No, what is it? Is it Kubrick and who working together, Andy? Kubrick and Elia Kazan or something like that? Or
it's Kubrick and U Bowl working together.
Uwe Boll and Kubrick together!
Yeah, I'm Uwe Boll. That would... so I'll give
God, can you imagine what would come of that?
They couldn't agree on the friggin' height of the room, probably.
It would be the longest, most boring movie ever.
But I want to say this, Andy, and Bill, you started NimChat, and then you added a player, a Shoutcast feed, and we've been doing our show live that way. We talked about going to Now Live. I don't know. It's still up in the air, but it's been a lot of fun every Friday doing our live show, having a group of, I don't know. I'm proud to say if we have four listeners, I'm not ashamed of it. Four or five.
You know what? I think regularly we run about five to some nights even 10.
And that's really cool.
At least in the chat room. And on the feeds, it's up to 15.
And we're not afraid to say that.
People listening that aren't in the chat room.
And we're not afraid to say that most people.
I bet you guys got a good number of listeners, you know, who don't listen live.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We've always our bread and butter is podcasting, so it'd be stupid for us to say, "Hey, we're no longer podcasting. If you want to listen to us, you listen to us at Friday."
Yeah, well, you know, the reason we started doing it, we started doing it live, and it wasn't that hard because we'd always looked at the podcast as a live show.
Right,
you know, did it like it was a live show.
Yeah, we would want the few amount of edits. Remember, the whole basis was we're doing a radio show, an imaginary radio show. So that's always what it was kind of supposed to be. So, and that's all we've ever wanted to do. We wanted Nora Mulberry. We wanted to do a live radio show for people who love the same things as us. And hopefully we make them laugh. We make them cry. We make them we make them think.
Have gigantic bowel movements. Oh,
hi guys! I just took a wicked shit. It's like, yeah. That's what, you know, one of the reasons we don't take a lot of phone calls, like I don't say, hey, the phone lines are open, is because no one had anything to offer, really.
Oh, God.
We had
one of our
good phone calls from time to time.
Listeners, Credo, would call in, and it was,
hey,
it's radio death.
Credo is going to listen to this, and it's going to hurt his feelings.
You know what? I love Credo. Credo is a good guy.
Credo,
Mick
bitch.
Hart is terrific. But holy shit, does he have nothing to say.
That said with love, Credo. We love
it. Is. It is.
And hey, we got Lost in Mulberry out of it. Come on.
Yeah, I had a lot of
you
fun doing
have
the
your
Lost
own
Mulberry
fan
show.
Cast. You guys have your own fan cast. That's pretty badass. I mean, who else has that?
That's true.
That is pretty awesome.
That is pretty badass.
That is extremely badass. I've got a signed autograph of Credo with a picture in their
yeah.
of Lost in Mulberry. I mean, they've got like
yeah, did you bowl
shirt and stuff. You guys don't even have that.
Yeah.
They're merchandising.
Yeah, did yeah, did you bowl you? Yeah, did you bowl lure?
Oh, the greatest.
Yeah, did Lou bowl?
Lou bowl.
Yeah, what did you bowl do? Lou you? Yeah, what? Yeah, what did? Yeah, did you? Yeah. Did you bowl to this volcano with fat bags
hey,
of donuts?
Can I take a second to just say how great Steven is? He has done almost every single show, and he flies in from another state every Friday just in time to be on the show. Seriously, if you flew in on an airplane, would you want to do a stupid live show, radio show? Wouldn't you say, dude, I'm going home. I'm going to bed. But Steven, he's so loyal. He always does it. My hat's off to Steven.
He's golden. But, you know, you can listen to any show of Mulberry anytime. At any time he's on the show, and you will hear slightly in the background the Predator snort continuing throughout.
It's That's like his signature.
Yeah, it's like a soothing hum throughout the whole show, you know.
Hey, that was pretty good.
It's like there's a cat sitting on your chest while you listen to the show.
Yeah, he's purring.
He's kneading the bread on your shoulder. You know how the cats will do that?
I don't notice it anymore, but some nights it's like jacked up, you know, to higher levels.
Oh, yeah. Some nights it's really loud.
You'll hear this. You'll hear the exhale, and then you hear the...
There it is.
Oh, you know what, Andy? It was a recent show where Steven was falling asleep next to me, and I typed on Skype, I go, Bill, tell Steven to wake up. And all of a sudden, Bill's reading the news, and he stops and he goes, Steven, wake up! And Steven kind of looked up, and it was so goddamn funny. And he was like, what? I wasn't asleep. And I was just like, come on, dude. Yes, you were.
Oh,
I love
nice.
The one time he was at a hotel, and he felt the need to call in, and we were talking about Lost, and it was going on kind of long, and then all of a sudden you stopped me, and you went, Bill.
No, Steven. Remember, we were talking about Alias. We went from
Alias. Sorry.
We went from My Name Is Earl to Alias, and we heard like. And I was like, Bill, dude, Steven's asleep, and you're like, is he asleep? Yeah, he's asleep. Steven, wake up. And we have a clip of that. It's on episode 17, also, the our clip show. He goes, dude, I was just resting my eyes for a second. Isn't that like everyone's lamest excuse of falling asleep? No, I was just resting my eyes.
Oh, Jesus.
That involves snoring.
Even my daughter has learned that, because she'll be falling asleep. Come on, you need to go to bed. No, I was just resting my eyes. It's like, what? Where do people learn
like
this
to
excuse?
Know who came up with that?
Resting your eyes.
My mother did. She does it all the time. She full on falls asleep sitting watching television. I go, Mom. She goes, I wasn't sleeping. I was resting my eyes. It's classic.
Oh, and you know what? Another huge chapter in Nowhere in Mulberry. We had failed forum after forum. Like,
oh my God, did we ever?
It wasn't until I was like, Andy, could we please maybe possibly join your forum?
And now you can go on our form when his form's up.
Yeah, unfortunately,
yeah,
the form's always
up
down.
And not broken.
But seriously, we get more replies now to threads and shit because we're on forum. Because you always had great membership on your forum.
Well, I figured that, you know, besides you guys' little Mulberry thread and then my podcast thread, it's all community thread after that. It's really both of ours. You know, because people, your listeners will talk in our in the saloon forums and vice versa. So, you know, I think it's all,
well,
it's all
our listeners
together.
Are one and the same pretty much.
Yeah, I think that
hopefully.
Well, I think people know whether or not they've, I think whatever show they started with, because, you know, we've seen it both ways, is, you know, they give the other a try.
Well, I know there's some listeners that our show may be a little too lowbrow for what they get in the saloon. And
the John Jansen fans, the cinema people,
I don't want them to listen to Mulberry.
We also talk about shows that they probably don't talk about. But another question people say is, where's Vanessa? Honestly, Vanessa and I are getting along and stuff.
Vanessa.
And Vanessa would do the show, but honestly, she does not want to do the show on Friday nights.
No.
And she used the excuse about her internet for a while, but really, she just doesn't want to do the show Fridays.
She wants to secretly date Eugene on Friday nights.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure they're married by now, so.
And with a child on the way.
That last step is a doozy. That was my Ned Ryerson impression.
Ned?
I think we've run out of steam. What do you guys think? This was a fantastic lunchtime in Mulberry, wasn't it? The lost episode.
It's a long lunch.
I hope it was worth it.
I think we covered everything. I'm not...
There's some shit I'll think about later, but...
Yeah, if there's anything anybody wants to know in the chat room, let us know. Maybe we'll actually cover it on the regular show.
You know, as a listener myself, I know that there's tons and tons of stories behind individual drops, because I know that was one of the first things that turned me onto it, was not that it had dropped, but the drops were so fantastic. It's like, well, how did you get that drop? Where's that drop from? But that's almost, it's too big to cover. But I know that's always been one of my things, because I've always asked you later, it's like, oh my God, where the hell did you get that drop from? And it's just, because it'll be spot on. And I was telling you, you could do an entire Mulberry's Greatest Drops episode.
Yeah.
And I think people would put it on, I think it would be golden on my iPod, because I would always go back to it to, you know, grab that those little bits. So
you guys want to hear one of my favorite drops, Andy?
Yes.
Here it is.
Two shitholes.
Two shitholes.
Two hit shows.
Yeah, that was great.
Two shitholes.
My favorite one of all time, though, and I don't know if you made it a drop or not, but remember when we were talking about, and I was on at the time, and we were talking, I don't remember if it was I remember why I was on, but I was on, and you were talking about, what's the show, Big Brother, and you said, I love Dick. It's like everything got quiet, and then we just slowly started breaking into just chuckles.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, come on.
Yeah. That was too good.
I think at one point a song was made for that by Credo.
Yeah, it was.
What I Love About Dick or something.
What I Love About Dick.
Oh.
I miss Vanessa's dynamic on the show. There was just something where... it was just fun. Sometimes she would drive me crazy, but I think it was good for the listeners to hear that. You know what I mean?
She was great.
Andy, yeah, when you would hear us disagreeing on stuff, was it entertaining?
What, to have Vanessa on there?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved having a female voice, and I loved it that she was kind of a game nerd, too.
Right.
She was great. I loved having Vanessa on there. I mean, not that you guys don't do it great also, but...
I'd love to have another female voice on the show.
I'd love to have her occasionally, you know, maybe back every now and then if you guys can swing it. But
hey, I'm a historian of ass.
There you go.
Yeah, wow, that's an early one.
Yeah, what happened to the whole museum curator of history thing? Yeah, whatever happened.
Yeah, when Mulberry became more of a state of mind than a town, it kind of dropped.
Not me. It's my ability.
I will never forget the time we were recording the mall episode, and you lifted the bullshit thing from the Zack Snyder remake, the dog Chips.
Yeah.
And Vanessa thought you were talking about actual chips.
Yeah, food. Yeah.
Like food.
And I wanted her to say, "Chips, leave my dog alone. Oh, I want, give me chips," or whatever. So I said, "Okay, Vanessa, go." And she said, "Mmm, chips. I love these delicious chips." And we were like, "What?" It was hilarious.
We laughed for like 5 minutes. And we had to take a break because it was so friggin' funny that she was like, "Oh, I want my chips."
What sucks is that was before we were live, so that was just a podcast where we edited it out.
I would love... Do we still have that?
Oh, I'm sure. I keep all of the raw recordings.
Because I would love to hear that again.
Thank God I have an external hard drive where I can put all that stuff.
Hey, so if Vanessa's such a gamer, why has she joined our cult? Is she like a PS3 cult only?
She doesn't have an Xbox, yeah. I keep telling her to get one, though. If she she would have a higher gamer score than Brock.
Any of us.
Oh, yeah. She'd have a higher one than Zach. Have you seen his 17,000 absurdity thing or whatever
Good
it is?
Good Lord.
Who's Zach?
Zach is his nephew.
Oh, okay.
He's 90.
If you participated in game tonight, you'd know.
Oh, sorry.
It's a very sexy thought.
I just don't want to play Halo 3 anymore. It's been out for 5 years.
Yeah.
Game Night's really, I mean, it started out pretty strong, but it's kind of petered out.
I got to tell you, though, I love Left 4 Dead so much that
it's good.
I could play it anytime, honestly. Just hop on and just start playing.
Oh, yeah.
But, hey, should we end the show now, guys?
Yeah. Hey, you guys wrap it up, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, Andy, have a good one, buddy. Thanks for always being a friend of Nowhere in Mulberry.
Thank you for being a friend.
I want to thank you for...
You are very much the Rue McClanahan of our Golden Girl friendship.
He's the slut?
I don't know. I got nothing.
I think he's more of the Estelle Getty.
Definitely. All right, Bill. Well, that was the Lunchtime Show, the lost episode. I certainly enjoyed this. We talked a lot. It went over an hour.
A lot of reminiscing.
We hope we gave everyone something to listen to.
Truly for the fans.
For the fans who took the time to donate to the Mulberry Cause, helped us pay for Christmas, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that will really, really help.
Every little bit helps. Hopefully people will enjoy this, and we love doing it. And we'll see you next time, all right? What do you say, Bill? Let's close out the show like we used to when we were on Talk Radio X. All right, everybody, that's the show. Yeah, we used to close with this, remember?
Oh, you're right.
Do the robot, and we have the robot sound. Bum, 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 bum. Got that, dun, dun. Hells yeah. See you on the flip side, dog. Isn't it good I don't have a closing line like that every week? See you on the flip side.
See Chris now.
Oh, so bad.
You're listening to Talk.
No, you're not.
The Talk of Mulberry.
Not anymore.
Now this is podcasting.